which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county. From another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers, having found you guilty, 10 years.
What? Come on. Come on.
I was in jail, too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now, here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. We come to you every Tuesday at the same time on WPFW 89.3 FM on your dial. Crossroads is heard around the world, and we got folks calling in from around the world. We've been on air for 16 years, and I'm telling you, it seemed like we just started last week. As usual, we have an interesting show this morning, but before we start, we open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. The grapevine.
Oh, I heard through the grapevine. Don't you know that I heard through the grapevine? Oh, I'm just about to lose my mind. Honey, honey, well.
I see you like that song, Nikisha. I see you over there dancing. So I didn't know you could dance. Here we go. Voting rights confusion keeps formerly incarcerated people from casting ballots. On Wednesday, the Nebraska Supreme Court ordered Secretary of State Bob Evans to begin following a new state law that extends voting rights to a group of people with felony convictions who were previously ineligible. Evans had refused to comply with the law, which was passed by the state legislature in April, claiming that it was unconstitutional. The ruling left voter registration and civil rights advocates scrambling as it arrived nearly on the eve of voter registration deadlines. Nebraska's online voter registration deadline was Friday, and the in-person voter registration deadline is next week. Even when people convicted of felonies are able to vote, they often don't know it. Sometimes they receive incorrect information even from official documents, or the existing laws aren't well known even by local officials. Fear also drives reluctance in the face of confusing eligibility regulations. People who are trying to put a criminal conviction behind them often don't want to risk making a mistake that could send them back to prison. In Florida, several people faced that exact possibility in 2022 after an office set up by Governor Ron DeSantis began arresting voters who allegedly cast ballots while ineligible to do so. Boy, that's jiggy boogie. The 33 prosecutor and sheriff elections that matter to criminal justice in November. These offices have wide power over the scope of incarceration and the conditions of detention, issues that are on the ballot from Tampa, Savannah, to Phoenix. Whoever wins the presidency on November the 5th, a large share of the decisions on crime, policing, and immigration enforcement will come down to the prosecutors and sheriffs elected on that same day. Officials with wide discretion over the scope and scale of incarceration, from who should be charged to conditions and treatment inside local jails. While there are roughly 2,200 prosecutors and sheriffs on the ballot this year, that's not much at stake in this election for most of these officers because they drew just one single candidate. Other important races for sheriff and the DA all year to identify and cover the elections that are poised to make the biggest difference for local policy during the primary. High efforts to cut long prison sentences have stalled. Crime victim advocates and conservative groups are resisting moves to revisit truth in sentencing laws. Well, when a 2016 California law made it possible for Lance Gonzalez to shorten his prison sentence by completing more rehabilitation programs and education, he hit the ground running. Gonzalez poured hundreds of hours into self-help groups, including courses on victims' impact and cognitive behavior. He taught classes and worked as a mentor and earned 7 associate degrees. His efforts seemed to pay off. Under the law, the State Corrections Department awarded Gonzalez enough time credits to move up his first parole hearing from 2028 to 2023. He was granted parole on his first try, a rare occurrence. As Gonzalez was planning for his first hour as a free man last spring, a lawsuit pulled the rug out from under him. In May, a judge agreed with the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation, a conservative nonprofit organization, that the Corrections Department didn't have the authority to advance parole for people serving life sentences. The state has appealed the ruling. Meanwhile, a bill that would have allowed some Californians sentenced to life before 1992 to be eligible for parole died in the state house on Thursday. And Nikisha, here's something that had me throwing up all night long. In Israel, Palestinian imprisonment continues even after death. The policy of post-mortem detention leaves grieving families without closure. When the weather permits, Abdul Shamar visited the grave of her son, Abed. The family cemetery is across the street from Al Adad refugee camp in Bethlehem, where she lived for many years. She washes the stone of her 19-year-old son, as is the custom in Palestine, especially during the two disturbances. But Abed's grave is different from those beside because it is empty. It's an open grave, and I treat it like he's inside. Abed's body is actually buried in the plot on an Israel military site, somewhere beyond the occupational walls, checkpoints, and sniper towers. His remains lie disregarded and unnamed, marked only by the number 141. Since 2016, Israeli authorities have held Abed's corpse in post-mortem detention after he orchestrated a bus bombing in Jerusalem. He is one of at least 370 dead Palestinians whose bodies Israel military are keeping frozen in morgues or buried in undisclosed location. The detention of Palestinians after their death is a decades-old practice. The contours of the law that defines post-mortem detention had changed dramatically since 1964, when the first Palestinians were buried in an unmarked grave in Israel's infamous Cemetery of Numbers. While Israel's courts have been trying this practice in the language of maintaining security, bereaved families feel that they are being collectively punished. Human rights organizations cite post-mortem detention as one of the many ways that Israel military apparatus extends its complete control over Palestine. From the time they're born to beyond their death, and they still are incarcerated even after they are dead. They have one body that's been held over 25 years. The Israeli authorities do not or refuse to give the bodies of deceased prisoners or Israel Palestinians back to their loved ones. Nikisha, this is the first I've ever heard of post-mortem detention. They lock you up while you're dead. They won't let you out. And that's been what we call the grapevine. Our topic this morning, for all you music lovers, is Fidelio, the Washington National Opera, Beethoven's Testimony to Justice and Freedom. And joining us is our guest, Warren Williams, Director of Music Education, the Kennedy Center Opera House. And also joining us is Fox and Rob Richardson, our good friends from New Orleans. They did another movie called Time 2, The Unfinished Business. And Merton and I flew to New Orleans and saw it. We went to Baltimore last month. Folks, this is a movie, Time, and Time 2 is something that you have and must see. And Nikisha, it's a coincidence that this is a story about love, affair, and prisons. And Fidelio is about a young lady who dressed as a man to go into prison to help her husband out. This is quite a coincidence. You something else, Nikisha, picking this topic. I love you for this, Nikisha.
Well, Boach, I just want to say, and first of all, thank you for the grapevine, you know, post-mortem detention. I mean, you know, I'm just, my mind is just totally flabbergasted. But that's what Crossroads is all about. It brings up these issues of detention and imprisonment and just unjust imprisonment and the like. And just the whole thing about the music, WPFW was founded on the premise that the music is the message, and from the anti-apartheid songs to, you know, the unapologetic hip hop of today, music carries the message. And that is what the Kennedy Center is doing with this new production of Fidelio. So rather than me talk about it, I want to have Warren Williams, music director, director of music education for the Washington National Opera at the Kennedy Center, and our dear friends, Fox and Rob, whose personal story themselves fits squarely within the theme of this opera, Fidelio. So let me just go in and start real quick with Warren Williams. Just say a little bit about just what this opera is about. And also, this isn't our first rodeo. I mean, we last year, Blue, which was an opera about the police killing of a young Black man, which was featured as part of the Kennedy Center. And we did a number of different community events associated with that. Ron Hampton, who's no stranger to WPFW, was a key catalyst in the community engagement around this. So when I heard about Fidelio, I said, okay, let's come with it. So Warren, tell us just a little bit, first of all, about the opera.
Yeah, not quite what you expect from opera. Hear about incarceration and police and justice with police. But yeah, it's always a pleasure working with you. Just a little bit, I think that Roach set it up pretty well. Fidelio is about a woman, Leonore, who disguises herself as a man. And the man that she disguises herself is Fidelio. She does this to infiltrate a prison and to save her husband, whose name is Florestan, who's been unjustly imprisoned by, you know, political enemy. So some of these themes we're going to be feeling, ironically, we feeling it today, right? So her political, her husband's political prisoner is going to get found out. So before he gets found out that he did this, you know, unjust imprisonment, he wants to, you know, shut it down, kill Florestan before he gets found out. But I won't spoil the whole opera, but we have it is a happy ending. We do have the changing of government. So a lot of that is ironic, right? Now. Changing of government. And so this whole opera, it not only represents imprisonment, but it's a metaphor on oppression and injustice, abuse of power, but also human dignity and freedom and moral courage, because Leonora, who dresses up as Fidelio, she comes in there and she's willing to, you know, get in there and save her, do whatever it takes with courage to save her husband. And I won't spoil it, but there is a joyous ending, a celebration, and there is justice. But as you know, just from this story, and we'll hear more about Fox and Rob's story, love can conquer anything, right? Sure. And so we might need this message in this day and age, at this very time, even in our country, but not just now, but really it's an ongoing fight for justice that we have in the world and certainly in this country. This is about political injustice, but the story resonates with us. And we do hope you will consider coming to the Kennedy Center. It's beautiful music, but it's a very powerful story. And it's a story that resonates with us today.
And you know, Warren, this story is the epitome of the story of Fox and Rob. I mean, the epitome. Love conquers all. A woman who's undying love for her husband. I'm talking about Sybil Fox Richardson and her love for her husband, Bob Richardson, who was serving I don't know how many decades, you know, and it was through her love. Fox, let me turn it over to you now, because you've been invited by the Kennedy Center to come and to be part of some of the events that that are surrounding Fidelio. So for those who might not have been listening to Crossroads all along, give a little bit about your story and just how you feel it relates to Fidelio.
Oh, Nikeechi, thank you so much for having us. And, you know, Rob and I are just grateful once again to be with one of the most powerful radio families on the planet Earth, the Crossroads Show. So thank you so much for having us. I mean, we have been so moved by this show and its impact for incarcerated and formerly incarcerated citizens that we made it a part of Time Too. So that is on the festival circuit right now. But for those that are not familiar with Rob and I's story, it is our 21-year journey that we fought through incarceration in the worst system on the planet Earth, Angola, where my husband was housed for 21 years. And through love and through determination and through a commitment, not just for a woman's love for her husband, but for a man and woman's love for their entire family and for a love for freedom and justice, that we were able to overcome a state sanction that said that my husband and his nephew would die in prison. And so to me, to be a part, to be invited by the Kennedy Center, to be a part of this amazing conversation on Beethoven's soul opera, the only one Beethoven ever wrote, being performed this Friday at the Kennedy Center, and having our story parallel with that story just shows us that, one, we've come a long way, but yet in society, we still have so far to go that we're still addressing these things that Beethoven wrote this opera about in 1804, 1805. And so here we are in 2024, and we're having the same conversations about freedom and the ability of love to overcome tyranny.
Ooh. So, Fox, let me just ask you this real quick, because Fidelio was basically about a political prisoner. And, you know, Rob, let's tell you, we had a discussion with Fox, and you expertly laid out the similarities in terms of political prisoner of in the Fidelio and the politics, the political politics that resulted in the unjust. Can you say something about that?
Well, I just think that when you talk about this issue that Beethoven writes about, is a political prisoner. When you think about mass incarceration in America, that there are over 2.3 million citizens incarcerated, that we understand clearly that mass incarceration is nothing more than an extension of slavery itself. Yes. When you work people for free. My husband made 4 cents an hour when he was a slave on Angola's plantation for 21 years. And so when you think about the fact that it is the policies that we have implemented, it is the laws like truth and sentencing laws that have given our people a considerable amount of time behind bars, lifetimes behind bars. It is no doubt that Black people in America are the people that Beethoven is writing about in this play. Once again, we are political prisoners because the politics of this era, the politics of since we have been in America, has continued to use Black and brown bodies for free labor.
So what I want to do right now is I want to kick it to Warren right now to say something about the partnership that the Kennedy Center has with the DC Department of Corrections surrounding this. And then when we come back after the pitch break, we want to get into what some of the wraparound activities around Fidelio. So talk about this partnership, Warren, if you can, with the DC Department of Corrections and the Kennedy Center.
Yes, so this opera, this whole subject of this opera really inspired our artistic director, Francesca Zambello, to continue the work she'd done at Attica in New York, where she worked inside of Attica to bring opera. And that means like teaching music, performing music, bringing it regularly, bringing artists into Attica to really share the power of music and art as a form of justice. Social justice, that everybody deserves dignity and everybody deserves access to beauty and this particular art form. So we're going to do that in DC, thanks to Nikeechi, who was really critical at introducing us to some people in the Department of Corrections. We're going to form a partnership with the Washington National Opera and the Kennedy Center, with the Department of Corrections, where we're continuing that work, but here in D.C. So what we will do, yeah, there'll be performances.
Let me throw this in.
Roach, go ahead, throw that in.
I'm going to throw it in. Okay. What's the benefit from this? By bringing opera into prison, and for folks out here to see an opera connected to prison and unjust injustices, what do you hope to accomplish by doing this? How does this impact the men and women who are currently incarcerated? If they see this or participate in your opera training program inside the DC jail?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of benefits from just sort of the general social justice and giving dignity to people as a right to share art. But in these art forms, it allows people to tell stories, to share stories. When you participate in the arts, there are a lot of therapeutic benefits, we believe, and that have been studied. And so from a wellness standpoint, from a mental health standpoint, we're hoping that participation in the arts, along with the other activities that are offered in the facilities, participation in arts, we think helps to reduce stress, helps to be a form of expression and with therapeutic benefits. Also, working together as a team allows people to get their minds off of some of the things they have to deal with on a daily basis and focus on beauty and focus on human creativity. And so we think there are a lot of benefits from mental, physical, and spiritual planes that participation in the arts bring. So it's really about the whole human being that is addressed when we participate in the arts. And we're hoping that's everywhere, but certainly could have special resonance inside of the correctional facilities.
Thank you. Thank you. Now we'll go to our pitch partner, Nikisha, this morning. Mayuki is joining us this morning as our pitch partner. Good morning, Mayuki Williams. She's not on Zoom, but go ahead, Mert, you do it.
Okay.
We've been waiting on Mayuki, but Mertima, go ahead and do it.
Yes, this is WPFW, your station. Okay. This is WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. This is the time that we need to fundraise. We give you information you do not hear on any other station. We appreciate your support. We need your support. You can cash app, $WPFW. You can call. The number to call is 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. Okay. We offer you to become a sustaining member.
Okay. She's joining us right now. She's running a little late, but remember, folks, we need your help. This is a non-commercial radio pro station, and we need your donations and contributions to continue on the air. Mertina and I have been coming here for 16 years, and, you know, we don't get paid a dime. It cost us money to do the show. We got to put gas in the car, come to places, and it doesn't make no difference. We do this because it's our passion, it's our commitment, and we need your support. Folks, we come to you every week, like this top of the story this morning about the postmortem detention stuff. I'll shut up and give it to Mayuki. Are you there, Mayuki?
Yes, I am, and I apologize. For some reason, I was not able to get through. I kept calling. But 202-588-9739 is the number for you to call to support the tremendous work that Roach Brown, Martine, and Nikichi do. They're just tremendous. A month ago, they had someone calling in from death row. Every week, they investigate. They put a spotlight on something that we may not know about that's going on within the prison system. And we all know somebody who's had to go through the prison system. And we hear the tales and we get the insight of what that's really like. And if you appreciate the really incredible work that this team does, please, it's important that each show hit its goal. It's important that shows that are important to you get supported. So please call 202-588-9739, 1-800-222-9739, or go to wpfwfm.org, especially if you're listening from outside the D.C. metropolitan area. If you're listening online, just go to the red button and just make a pledge of support. Or you could go to Cash App, $WPFWFM. Just make sure that you put Roach Brown or put Crossroads in the memo so that we know what show goes to and your email. So thank you so much. I apologize for, again, my technical difficulties, but that's no reason for you not to go call, especially those new people who've been listening for whatever amount of time who have yet to make a pledge to WPFW, to make that transfer, being a listener to becoming a member supporter. We're looking for you to support this station that supports you.
Thank you. And please, folks who've been listening for all these years, we need your help. As I said, Martina and I, we don't get paid for doing this. And it's ironic that we got to get money to pay our bills, but we got to put that on second and push for the station first. So the program is more important to us than I won't say to our family stuff, but we got to deal with it. You know where I'm coming from.
Nick, thank you so much for that. Thank you for that reminder that thank you. I'll be quiet. I'll talk to you in a minute. Thank you so much. And I'm sure that.
And now we're going to get back to our show. Fox and Rob, as I said, we were in Baltimore 2 weeks ago for the screening of Time 2. We went to New Orleans to see it. Every time we see Time and Time 2, folk, it brings tears in my eyes. This is one movie. We don't recommend nothing, but I recommend this wholeheartedly. It's inspirational. It's motivational. It shows you what can be done when they say ain't nothing can be done. There's always hope.
And this lady, always.
This lady took hope and put a saddle on it and rode it straight up to the gates of Angola and drug her husband out there on a horse and went back and got a nephew and drug him behind the horse. That movie, you need to see Time to. Folks, you don't have to take my word for the Martins. I'm telling you something that would touch you in ways that you haven't been touched before. And it lets you know that it ain't over until it's over. And if you got the spirit, and Fox, you are pregnant with spirit. I don't know how you did.
Let me tell
She's
you
been pregnant
once.
Many times.
But listen, for our DC family, and especially for our Crossroads family, I definitely want to invite you out to come and see Time 2 as we have a special screening at the Kennedy Center after the premiere of Fidelio. It's going to be on October the 26th at 3:30. The doors open. And just as the Crossroads family has shown up and shown out for us before when we have screened Time, which is on Amazon Prime Video, I know that they're going to come and see this film directed by yours truly. It's one thing for other people to tell our stories, Roach, but it's a whole nother thing when we get to tell our stories our way. And that's what Time 2 is. So I'm really excited about having the DC community come out with us to partake in the screening October 26th, 3:30 in the Reach at the Kennedy Center. And if that's not enough, think we're going to turn around on the 30th of October at 6:30 at the MLK Library and have a community discussion with the cast from the opera, Fox and Rob, and the community that Nikeechi is going to spearhead for us. It is going to be an amazing just week of showing what love can do to triumph tyranny. That's love right. trumps tyranny. Love,
oh,
I'm
going
to say that again. Love trumps tyrany. You know what I'm saying?
Say that again. What's that brother's name in there? You said Trump. Did you say Trump? Is he in the play?
Okay, listeners, we're not going to get political here. But you know, Fox, let me just tell you this. When I saw Time, the first film, and I heard that Time 2 was going to come out, I said, Cat, how in the world is Fox going to surpass what she did with the original documentary? I did not see how you possibly could have done anything that surpassed that, but you did it. And I'm only saying surpass, they are both equal, but it's like you did it, my sister. I don't know quite, you know, what more to say about that. I'm going to kick it back to Warren real quick to give a little bit of focus to Fidelio and Freedom, the October 30th that Fox was talking about, you know, I know they're going to be, well, I'm not supposed to talk. You can talk a little
bit. Yeah, I'm happy to talk about it.
Come on.
I can talk a little bit about it. Nikeechi, we're so grateful to have Nikeechi as a moderator for this event. And of course, Fox and Rob will be sharing their story and how their story relates to the opera. We also have Danielle Cho, who is the co-founder of Sound Impact, and she's also a member of the Washington National Opera, the orchestra. So she's playing in the opera, and she also has is a member of an organization that's helping us go into the Department of Correction, bringing artists, and she also does that in juvenile detention centers. So we'll be bringing opera to both juvenile detention centers with Sound Impact, as well as the DC jail and correctional facilities. So we have these great artists, and we also have a singer from the cast that will be doing a performance for this event, and a little bit of food if you get there, you come, there'll be some food. So this is October 30th, this panel discussion, and it's free. Please come. It's going to be at the MLK Library downtown in DC. There's plenty of space, so bring as many people as you like, first come, first serve. And it's going to be really an important discussion led by a brilliant moderator and brilliant guests. So we're really excited about that. And definitely come see the opera.
You know, I want to throw this to Fox, I mean to Rob. Robin, we were down to Baltimore 2 weeks ago at the Black Film Festival in Baltimore, and he screened Time 2. And I hadn't seen Time and Time 2, and I've been down to your house, and we'd been to New Orleans. Anywhere you go, Murder and I show up.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Man,
it hurt me when I heard you say that you're still on probation or your supervision. Mm-hmm. You're on supervision for the next 20, 30 years. Man, you did 21 years in prison, and you and your wife was locked up. You was taken from your family. Now they talk about you got to stay out, and you're on a curfew, and you've been out 4 or 5 years. How is this impacting you and your family in terms of trying to get closer together, man, with all this jiggy boogie about you got to report in the curfew?
I think really, Roach, this is an amazing opportunity that we have in front of us at this moment. And just as I sit back and I listen to everyone who has weighed in on this amazing moment that's happening at the Kennedy Center, I just find that how ironic it is that in 1804, at the time that we're talking about, when Beethoven wrote this play, that our governor, Napoleon Bonaparte, was threatening a takeover of Germany in that moment. So just to bring Louisiana back at the center and back at the forefront of yet a age-long issue, seemingly, that we're still having to this day. When we talk about the politics of all of this, or we talk about how it is that these themes have continued to penetrate the lives of less fortunate people like ourselves and like the members of the cast of Fidelio. And when we talk about slavery and how it is that slavery over space and time has just taken on so many different forms from that of, say, 400 years ago. And here it is when you talk about, art imitating life, that this amazing opera would seemingly be imitating not just the life of Fox and I, but the life of countless of other people that are trapped inside of these systems, largely based upon the politics of slavery, the politics of free labor. And when you talk about that, Roach, you would think that after 21 years of day-for-day incarceration that my debt to society would have been paid. But just like the slavery of yesterday, we went from slavery to sharecropping. We went from sharecropping to other forms of slavery and servitude. And much of what I am experiencing now is no different than what we've witnessed in days gone past when they had such things as sundown laws, where people couldn't be out after certain hours of the day. Much of the same holds true for me, because here I am, a 55-year-old man, and I couldn't be entrusted to be out past 9 o'clock at night. So as part of the stipulations of my release is that not only do I have the remaining portions of a 60-year sentence hanging over my head, which equates to 40 plus years of parole, but also I have a curfew. And that curfew, like I said, to me just resembles a lot of what you know, our people experienced early on through sundown laws. Much of the policies that are implemented in this day and time resemble the policies that we saw shape up in yesterday, following the quote unquote emancipation of slavery. So, like I said, just to be able to see this moment, for us to be able to utilize the stage of the Kennedy Center for the purpose of bringing greater awareness to what it is that we still, after all of these years, face as a people here in the Americas, I think that it is far past time for us to amplify this message. And I do thank Crossroads, I thank Brother Warren, Nikichi, all who have conspired together to make sure that this subject does not fall on deaf ears or before blind eyes. Mm-hmm. So I'm so honored to be a part of it all. Can't thank you guys enough. And I'm just hopeful that this roach moves us closer in the direction of where we need to be in terms of not only relieving myself from the sanctions of incarceration, but that this would resonate to the public to say that this that has happened to our family and families of more than 400 years ago, that this should not happen to another family, not in America, not in the most civilized, not in the most civilized country on the face of the earth.
So we're honored to have you here as well. Wait, remember, hold on. Charles Thornton is on the line. It is due to Charles Thornton that we were able to get our entree into the D.C. Department of Corrections to do this facilitation and this partnership. Charles, can you just give a shout out right now? Because I know you're on the line right now.
Good and morning, he's on our Charles. Panel.
Hey. Yeah, we'll be on the October 30th panel at the Martin Luther King Library as part of the Philadelphia wraparound events. Charles is the board chair of the D.C. Corrections Information Council and does a lot of work with the D.C. Commission on Human Rights. Is he there? Oh. We can't hear him.
Speak up.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not Charles. I'm R.D. Carter.
No, that's, I'm sorry, that's, come on, that's.
Yeah, on, okay, but I know Charles was PC. Waiting on the line. Okay.
But Charles, let's take Ralph Carter and then come on, Ralph okay. Carter. Come. You said you wanted to call in and explain about your job training program. Come on, Ralph.
Yeah, Roach, if you need a job.
Yeah, this guy's up. First.
Ralph? I'm sorry, say it again. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay. We're having a job fair Friday, this coming Friday, 9 o'clock at 1200 U Street. If you need a job, show up. We're going to have many, many employers, a mixture of employers. It's going to be a law firm that's going to help people put together a strong resume. And we got a resource list of different agencies within the metropolitan Washington area that can help folk with proper attire. And it's going to be a dynamic thing. This is our second year. If you need employment, please show up. Roach and I grew up together, and this neighborhood is sacred to us.
Yes,
so
it is.
We are giving yeah. back to the community. I have a fantastic board of directors that have helped me put this thing together. I didn't do it by myself. My clerical staff, the design, maintenance, and everything. So please show up. So if you need a job, we got a mixture of government. We got a mixture of private. We got unions. We got building trade unions that are going to be there. And we have independent companies that are looking for salespeople. We're going to have a solar company that's going to be looking for technicians. They may even provide training. So please show up at 1200 U Street, 9 o'clock a.m., and it's going to run from 9 until 1.
Question.
What day is that?
That's this coming Friday.
It's coming Friday from 9 to 1. Hey, Dr. Carter, let me ask this question. Having a criminal record, this is will not prevent or exclude you from participating in this job fair. This is for folk with criminal records, or can criminal records be a part of this?
Having a criminal record will not exclude you from participating or being hired. Now, some of the companies use an outside source for hiring, whether you have a criminal record or not. But having a criminal record has no bearing on your employability, none whatsoever.
Fantastic. What I want to add to what Fox and Rob were saying, too, after slavery, we weren't allowed as a people to read or write, grow crops, make a living. So now, moving fast forward, the infamous, famous Denise Graves is participating in the opera. D.C. native, Duke Ellington High School. So we're showing you both sides of where we are, where we're going,
you know,
where we've been.
You know, this is amazing. 45 years ago, I came up with a drama group inside a prison. And we used the drama and the theater to change my life and to impact other people's lives. So theater has a tremendous role. There's another opera that I love, the opera, the play, and the movie called Les Miserables. That's another one of them stories about injustice in the criminal justice system. So this is justice. The injustice with the injustice system has been going on for centuries. And it's only natural for folks to get their pain out through acting, through drama, through singing. So Les Miserables, but I like to say, Rob and Fox, that we ought to do Fox 3 as an opera. Can you sing, Rob?
Speak it on his ropes.
So let me just say, but because I know we're supposed to go into another pitch, but before we do, let's let Fox and Rob give whatever last statements they want to give, because I know they have to hop off, and I don't want you to miss the opportunity because the pitch is about to come on again.
Fox
and Rob, we are honored. Give us some closing remarks.
We are just really excited about this opportunity to me, and it is a showing of the times that we are living in to have these stories hosted by the institution of the Kennedy Center in this critical moment in our society. And so we want to again invite our Crossroads family, all of DC, to come out and be with us for a advanced screening. Time 2 has not gone into distribution yet, so this is your chance to see it before it hits the whole world. It will be at the Kennedy Center in the Reach, 3:30 on Saturday. So we hope you'll come and see us. And if that's not enough, we're going to come back on October 30th at the MLK Library, again with the cast from Fidelio, to have a conversation, including the Department of Corrections head in DC, and have a real community conversation about what our role is and how times of old are times of today, and how love trumps tyranny.
We know y'all got to go, Fox and Robert. I want to thank you for joining us. Y'all got an open invitation anytime. In fact, Martine and I don't have to be here. Fox and Rob, we just give y'all the microphone and y'all take it. Y'all and then Nikichi.
We love y'all. Thank you, Warren. Thank you, Nikichi. And you know, y'all our favorite couple, Roach and Martine.
Love y'all.
Thank you. Now we go back to
Mayuki. Is Mayuki coming back on now?
Yes,
I'm right here with you all. You all have a fascinating, informative conversation, whether it's about the culture or whether it's about getting jobs. People are listening and they're loving it. And they're forgetting you need to raise $500 between now and 11 a.m. So for people out there listening, each show's assigned a specific amount of dollar it has to reach in order for the station to know that you value it, that you appreciate it. This is your chance to let Roach, Martine, and Nikichi know how much you appreciate the incredible work they do. You're not only talking about when Crossroads, you get such a cross-section of information. You get jazz and justice. You figure out, you talk to people in Australia to see what the situation is for Aborigines over there. You talk to people on death row. You talk to people here in town. An opportunity to get jobs for all people. If you're looking for a job, from you know, you just hit on WPFW. Go here on this Friday, and you can get a chance to get work. Go to the theater, Kennedy Center, on Saturday. You can see a great piece, and the beautiful renovated Martin Luther King Library. You can hear and talk to these various artists. This is a rich, rich, rich forum for lots of information, not just restricted to returning citizens. So please, if you appreciate it, it's critical that you go and say Merry Christmas to Roach and make sure that he, Martine, and Kitty make their goal. $500 is all we need. One person can do that. But 10 people doing $5, $50, we have it. 10 people doing that, or 5 people doing $100. I know you're out there. I know you have a credit card, or, you know, someone could become a subscriber. for $50 a month, and it will go over goal. But someone out there who understands that the $50 that they spend, the $12.50 that they do per week on a croissant and an expensive coffee, could go instead to Roach and to WPFW and to Martine and Nikichi for all the incredible work they do. 202-588-9739. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just had to give out the phone number so that people know where to call. 202-588-9739. We only have 16 minutes, folks, left. So please call. Go ahead, Roach. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. You did a beautiful job. Please, folks, we need your help to stay on the air. We got guys from prison who make 12 cents an hour. Send us $15 or $20 every few months. If they see the importance of the show and they incarcerated making 8, 10, 12 cents an hour, and they contribute to keep us on the air. So, folks, this is no joke. We need your help to stay on the air. We've been coming here for 16 years. And I need money to pay my bills, but I ain't even asking for mine. We're talking about the station. The station means more than what we're talking about. And, folks, you can play a part in keeping us on the air. Go ahead, Nikichi.
Warren, you know, I know the artistic director, Francesca Zambello, who I had the honor to meet, who also artistically directed Blue last year about the police killing of young black men. I've always been impressed with her works, and I know that she was involved with bringing music
right now. Let me call you back.
Bringing music into Attica prison. After that Attica uprising. Tell us just a little bit more about this artistic director, Francesca, and if there's anything else that you know of right now on the horizon while we're waiting for an offer of time three.
Absolutely. Francesca Zambello is a visionary. I mean, we're very fortunate to have her in Washington working with the Washington National Opera. She's always making sure there's a mix of the traditional, but also the contemporary, and you know, and also taking what is familiar, but connecting in a fresh way to the lives that we live today. So we're very excited at this kind of look at Fidelio, but we also have this season, The Revolution of Steve Jobs. So this is an opera about the life of Steve Jobs, Apple, that's coming up. We also have Porgy and Bess. Porgy and Bess is coming this season as well, and we'll do something very similar. We're really going to talk about South Carolina Geechee culture. We're going to talk about the Gershwins, who you know are not black, but they are depicting life in South Carolina around this time with some of the most beautiful timeless music and an all-black cast. Traditionally for Porgy and Bess and what that has meant throughout time and what does that mean for us today. So Francesca Zambello is always interested in making art timeless and bringing the timeless art into conversation. So those are some of the things that I can talk about that are coming up that we're really excited about this season. And there's some things I can't talk about that are going to be super exciting as we get ready to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. So it's going to be a big, big celebration that whole calendar year of 2026.
All right, Nikichi, can we get a list of what activities are free? We need to register to come down. We want to make sure we get a big turnout from the Crossroads family to come down to the Kennedy Center and to the Martin Luther King Library for the panel discussion.
So I would just say that all of the wraparound events around Fidelio at no charge are free. And check the Kennedy Center website. Within a few days, information should be up there. So I just want to go in and say that, Warren.
Yeah, and then, of course, the performances are not free, but we do have discounted offers that we can share that with you all. I don't know if we can share that online, but if we can share that.
Yes, give it up.
I think you can share it.
Okay, if I can share that, there is a discount ticket offer for the opera itself. And you can call with this number or you can get on the website on the day that you want to attend and enter this code. And that code is 589 891. 589-891. That is the code for $39 tickets to an opera. For opera, that's a great deal. And that's going to be for Friday, October 25th. Then it's going to be for October 29, Halloween, October 31, and November 4th, the day before we all vote, if you haven't already voted.
Okay.
So, so the Kennedy Center, what?
Go to the website.
Yes.
Like you said, so thank you so very much for that. I'm really excited. This one thing I don't think we discussed, if you could just really very briefly, we talked about the partnership with the D.C. Department of Corrections, but there's also a partnership with Sound Impact and Juvenile Detention Center in Alexandria. Can you just very, very briefly say something about that?
Yeah, I'm so excited about this, and I hope you can join us, Nkechi, for some of these. Sound Impact is made up of some musicians of the Washington National Opera Orchestra, the orchestra musicians, but they've been going into juvenile detention centers for a number of years, and now we're going to also bring opera along with it. But they work with young people. They do three-day workshops where they're getting them writing and getting them doing spoken word, listening, and then listening to music. And now we're going to have them also performing music. So after these three-day workshops, then they do a performance for their peers. So it's about the power of music. It's about participating, and it's about giving them their voice. So the whole program is called Use Your Voice. It's really exciting.
So I'm just saying, we use your voice, and everyone, y'all use the phones to pick up and donate to WTFW Pacifica Radio. Roach and Martine have been on these airways for 16 years. Where else are you going to get the Kennedy Center Opera on the same line as community advocates and formerly incarcerated people? I mean, I'm just saying, WPFW brings it all together because this is the type of programming that we do here. Roach, what were you going to say with respect to
this?
Donate. Yeah, WPFW,
this is,
Roach.
This is consistent with what we've been doing. We've been bringing you stuff that you haven't heard or experienced before. And as I said, we use drama in the theater helped me to save my life. It got me out of prison. So I use drama to come out. So folks, this is a way of saving lives. You may don't understand that, but I didn't understand drama. But drama, I started writing plays and started learning how to direct and looking at soap operas and teaching myself from soap operas how to produce a play just from watching TV. And it got me to the president of the United States that gave me a pardon and got me out of prison. So opera, theater, drama, the stage, it's an integral part of us. And I'm just amazed that Beethoven wrote this in 1805 or 1825. And the injustices were going on. The same thing with the French Revolution when Jean Valjean in the Les Miserables. Nkechi, I've been reading. I ain't know.
I know. I'm looking at the okay,
I see you. I see your face. He know all about that. The warden let me read sometime. So I want to thank you. We got a few minutes left, Warren Williams. You want to give us some closing remarks? We got 1 minute. Can you give us some closing remarks, please, before we shut down?
Sure. I would want to say first, thank you. Thank you for having me on. And Nkechi, thank you for also participating in these events. But just to welcome everybody to the Kennedy Center, we have all kinds of performances. And to try out an opera, if that's not your thing, just know that you're welcome. It is the nation's cultural arts center. And so there's something there for everybody, from hip hop to contemporary to jazz, to opera, to orchestra, the choral. Is something there for everybody. Theater, dance, even comedy. So you are welcome at the Kennedy Center. It is your center. It is for the people. So I want to say that everybody is welcome, and we hope to see you.
Thank you. Our time is up. Thank you, Nkechi, for quarterbacking this show. You did an excellent job, young lady. Thank you, Warren, for joining us. And
thank you for having me.
Fox and Rob, and also we'll get to Charles
later. 2025889739. We got to give out the phone number. 2025889739 is the number for you to call.
And dig in them pockets and go to them little jars under the bed and them little jars you got in the yard. Take them old rusty dollars out.
And we got some people to thank. Leonora Winters, Dan Addo, and Anonymous. Thank you. Thank you for your donations.
Thank you. We appreciate you. Remember, this has been Crossroads, your station for jazz and justice. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
The Kennedy Center's Let's Go There series uses opera to examine contemporary issues. In Beethoven's Fidelio, the husband suffers political imprisonment and his wife impersonates a prison guard to free him. Imprisonment and freedom will be explored in a panel discussion moderated by Nikichi Taifa, featuring Fox and Rob, the inspiring couple from the documentary Time, Danielle Cho, Washington National Opera cellist, and Charles Thornton of the DC Corrections Information Council. Acclaimed tenor Chasmin Williams Ali will also perform excerpts from Fidelio. The free event and reception will be held Wednesday, October 30th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the MLK Junior Library located at 901 G Street Northwest, Washington, D.C.
The DC Palestinian Film and Arts Festival is back in person for the first time in 6 years. There has never been a more critical time to honor stories created by Palestinians from historic Palestine and around the world. This year's festival featured the DC premiere of 6 films, including From Ground Zero, a collection of 22 short films made by Palestinian filmmakers in Gaza since October 7th, and it's Palestine's official submission to Academy Awards. The festival will also host a hands-on workshop to create your own political art, conversation with filmmakers and artists, and the DC book launch of Visualizing Palestine First Book. Details at dcpfaf.org. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Fall is a time of change and impermanence. What never changes is WPFW's unwavering commitment to providing reliable news, informative public affairs, and exceptional music that inspires both action and introspection. From October 14th through November 3rd, we celebrate The Circle Unbroken, 47 years of being in the community with WPFW during our Fall Pledge Drive. We invite you to be in community and solidarity with us by making a donation at WPFWFM.org to ensure that this independent grassroots media outlet not only survives, but thrives. It is with your generous support that we build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Hi, this is Jim Byers, host of the Latin Flavor Classic Edition. Support from listeners like you are the tools that have built WPFW over nearly 5 decades. We provide news, music worth listening to, and in-depth conversations about your community and the world. One of the many ways you can contribute is to donate a vehicle that you no longer need. Running or not, it can do wonders for WPFW. So donate it for a tax break for 2024. Go to WPFWFM.org or call 1-866-WPFW-CAR. That's 1-866-973-9227 for more information. Help WPFW continue building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
I testify. Sophie's Parlor is the original woman's radio collective. Wednesdays from 3 to 5 p.m., the best music divas on radio at 89.3 FM and sophiesparlor.blogspot.com.
Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come.
Hi, this is Robin Holden, the proprietor of Robin's Place. Every Friday evening from 7 until 10 p.m., Robin's Place is a mythical entertainment center consisting of four floors. On each floor of Robin's Place, we have rooms that are named after people who I think are icons in music, theater, and literature. We have the Nancy Wilson Room, the Joe Williams Room, the Gloria Lynn Room, the Frank Sinatra Room, Lynn Room, the Frank Sinatra Room, the B.B. King Blues Room, the James